listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome back to Advice Line. David Masters, the default host tonight. My dad's just had to take a little time out. And I'm happy to sit here because I love talking to you and helping people to see, you know, a little bit of light in a world full of darkness. And I'm trying to talk about this idea of magic. My dad's been talking about it lately. And he's saying there's real magic. And there is. There actually is real magic. But, you know, we're all suspended in a world of false magic. And if you think back to medieval times and even back into the times of the pharaohs, there were all kinds of people that were trying to create miraculous things by trickery. And if you fast forward from 5,000 years ago to today, what we have is we have these people who have mastered the virtual universe, or the virtually mastered it anyway. And now the next step is virtual reality, and everybody's going to live in a virtual reality of some sort when they get off work, or even they may go to work in a virtual reality someday in the near future. And because, you know, that would save a lot of people driving in congested freeways and, you know, all the people that are worried about the global warming nonsense, they'll all buy into it because, well, I mean, what's the point of driving somewhere if you can just go there virtually? You put on your Oculus glasses or whatever, that, you know, it's a like ski glasses, and you plug into the office and all your friends are there and, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. But the virtual reality world is exactly like The Matrix, the movie, the original movie number one, The Matrix. And the people that live in The Matrix, they don't know how to live any longer in the real world. And if you just think about this for a moment, what would happen if you lost your phone? Because everybody's connected through their phone these days, if you have a phone. What happens to you? You panic. You kind of lose your mind, like, oh my gosh, where's my phone? And then, of course, when you get in your car, you turn on your radio. And then when you get into wherever you're going in the supermarket, they have Muzak. They have that music playing. And when you go to the restaurant, they have faster music to get you to eat faster, to get you out of that restaurant so the next people can come in and sit down and take your place. And everywhere you go, there's some sort of influence acting upon you, subliminally and overtly. Because the advertising in the magazines, if you're checking out, you're going out the checkout line in the grocery store, and all around you, subliminally but overtly, you see the word sex. And you see the word sexy. And it's all about you. And it's all about people having their affairs and, you know, running out on each other and losing fortunes and people getting killed by crazy people. I mean, this is the world that we've come to live in. And it isn't even something that we want. We don't want that world. And yet, every time we go out, you turn on the news. I mean, I have to be very careful because I have, you know, teenagers, but I don't want them to hear some of the things that are actually going out on as just regular news every day. Just like yesterday, somebody went around, was a taxi driver, and killed six people. Just picking up people, dropping them off, and killing somebody in that parking lot. I mean, this is the world we live in. It's an insane world. And in a sense, maybe it's insane to the degree it is because it forces people to say, man, I'm not going out in that world. That's a crazy world. I'm going to put on my Oculus goggles. And I'm going to actually stay at home and live in this virtual reality. But see, you got to understand this part of it. You're already in the virtual reality because you're not free from the influence of your own thoughts. Your thoughts are your virtual reality. And ever since the beginning of humankind, those thoughts, ever since the ejection of human beings from the Garden of Eden, So they were subject to their creator at that point where they lost that connection. Because really, that was actually another kind of reality. They didn't really see him. They heard him. They knew he was there. Think about what I'm saying. So the idea here is this, is that to begin to realize that you're not living your own life means that all the stuff around you has had an influence on you, and you have become the sum total of your thinking and your experiences. And we're going to continue this conversation in just a moment, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Advice Line.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Advice Line. David Masters just sitting in tonight while my dad takes a little time out. And if you're out there and you didn't hear hour one, it's pretty amazing. And so you'll get to hear it on the refeed later on, especially those of you who are listening to KDWN out there in Las Vegas. My dad talked to a young man who had never heard of him before, who had suicidal thoughts, and a lady who is a person I've known from the Sunday conversations and for many years. So I'm sitting on the curb crying, and she kind of came to his help, to his side, and helped him, and he called the program. And you see, this is magic. This is the magic that's missing in the rest of the world. And if your life is not filled with magic, it's because something in you is stopping it. It's keeping it at bay. It's keeping you from knowing that there is a whole nother possible reality that you can experience. But see, as we watch the different kind of people jockeying for power, we see them trying to sell us on their ideas. And every day we're deluged with television, and especially those of us who watch the news. And there are people who have left views, and there are people who have right views, and there are people who have a mix of those two. And all they're doing is talking their ideas into those of you who watch. Now, what I'm doing, maybe not much different, except for one thing. What I'm talking into you is this idea that if you are not in control of yourself, someone or something else will be. And in fact, is. Something else is in control of you. Let's take people who have eating problems, food addiction. See, the food is not the problem. It's whatever it is that's compelling you, whatever is compelling you to reach out for that food. It's not hunger. How can you be hungry and be, in other words, if you were in a concentration camp and you had been starved and given nothing to eat, then I can understand a person craving to have food. But at a certain point, your body gets nourished, and then there's a natural point at which you say, okay, I've had enough. But when that point ceases to arrive, where you say to yourself, I've had enough, when that time comes and you go beyond that point of sort of no return, and you keep eating and you keep eating and trying to fill, and it feels so good. You're filling yourself up, and it feels so good. But afterward, it doesn't feel so good. But you're in like a swamp of quicksand of food-induced quicksand, and your mind is dulled. Same with people who smoke cigarettes or are drinkers. It creates a bit of a mind fog. And in that mind fog, we can forget, this is the key, we can forget why we're doing the things that we're doing wrong. Because we're reacting to the world that we live in. It has its influence over us consistently every moment of every day. Every time, even the people that you see walking down the street. Now, and I want to make another point about this. Because there was a time, and there we go through different periods of time throughout human history, where virtue is much more highly regarded than perversion. But in our world today, virtue and perversion are mutually, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's eluding me, the idea of... equivalent. So the way that everything is presented is there's really, if you're too conservative, that's not good. But if you go as far as you want to the twisted side of life, that's kind of a lot better. And so we're constantly being marketed our own downfall. And you must be able to see it. If you can't see it, it's because something in you doesn't want you to see it. And so therefore, because you have choices to make about what kind of person you are going to be and how you're going to deal with the world, and if you're going to be a moral or immoral person, these are choices that you have to make. And because you have to make so many of these choices, because you're on autopilot being influenced in one direction or another, you feel the stress of it every day, and you end up with a headache, and you end up with a desire. And you say to your, then you eventually go to your doctor and you say, I don't have the energy to live any longer. I'm depressed. I'm not happy. And the doctor then says, well, here, I can give you a bottle of this or that. And you try that. And if that works for you, then we'll put you on a prescription for it. Or people that don't do that go to the cigarettes and the booze. And then it extends into other people. And you want to have a group of friends that constantly is exciting and, you know, and then there's all the intrigue of having friendships and relationships and all that. Your whole life is a whirlpool. And when you're on the outside fringes of it, it's not going very fast. A big whirlpool. But as you begin to get sucked down into the middle, life escapes you. And it comes faster and faster. And the anxiety and the fear and the conflict and the worry come at you faster and faster and faster. And this is all induced. This is the matrix that we live in. It is designed to put stress upon us. And even though we have the ability to choose not to be a part of that matrix, to step out of that matrix, to live in the actual real world, we have that choice available to us at any given point in time. But because we're caught in the current of the whirlpool, of the virtual reality that we live in, of the entertainment, the food, the sex, all of it, because so many are caught in it. Well, I go back to what the scripture says, broad is the way that leads to death, right? But narrow is the path that leads to life, and few are those that who find it. The narrow path requires your attention. So my dad discovered this meditation when he was a young man. He realized something, that life has a hypnotic effect on people. He watched the hypnotists in England on the stage, and he would see them influencing people. And he thought, how can you do that? How can you get a person to go against their own best interest? How can you get them to do stupid things and not even realize they're doing it? Now look at your world today. Isn't there a supreme hypnotic master, a puppet master manipulating everything and everyone? It doesn't matter if it's to the left. It doesn't matter if it's to the right. There's something manipulating our perceptions. And there's also something manipulating our reality. And the more that you are influenced by the things of this world, the food, the drugs, the smoke, the people, the sex, whatever it may be. The more you allow yourself to be influenced by it, the less you see what's happening to you, and you grow in conflict with yourself. Because yourself was not meant to be a living its life going down the funnel of a whirlpool. Yourself was not meant to do that. The self that you have was meant to for higher things, for better things. To come into this world and make it a better world, make it a better place by the time you leave in some way, shape, or form. And of course, if you're not a part of the solution, then you're contributing to the problem. So you have to ask yourself, well, then where am I on that scale? Am I a person who is actually making a contribution to a betterment of this world? Or am I a person who is just caught up in the whirlpool and being sucked down into the funnel, down into the darkness? Because if you can answer that question honestly, then you can begin to go in the right direction, in a good direction, in a new direction. And you can emerge from whatever influence, that hypnotic effect that life has upon you. My dad wrote a book, The Hypnosis of Life. I think it's actually revolutionary because most people cannot help who are in the healing arts. Most people who are in the healing arts go to school and they read a variety of material, much of it New Age stuff. And they want to help people the best way they know how, and most of that involves some kind of drug or some kind of hypnotherapy or some kind of regressive therapy or whatever it is. I really don't know. But for the most part, most people don't even know how to help other people. Yeah, if you get in a terrible automobile accident and you end up in the ER, you're going to be in the best place in the world where people are going to help you save your life because your life is torn to pieces. That's probably the best place you can end up among those kinds of people and those doctors because they know how to put you back together. But there aren't many people who help you, who know how to help you to put yourself, your mind, your emotions, your spiritual life in the right place. And this is why I urge you to begin this journey away from the spiraling funnel, the whirlpool of life, dragging you into the center, down into the darkness. If you go to my dad's website, FHU.com, you can listen to meditation, Be Still and Know Meditation. Or if you go to AntidoteForAll.com, there's a 7-minute meditation there. If you have a friend who's having a problem, have them listen to the 7-minute meditation. It's very simple. Very, very simple. But what it is it's a test of who you are. See, if you sit to meditate and something in you growls or something in you says, I don't want to do this. No! Well, then you know, at least at that point, that you've basically identified why your life isn't going the way you would like it to. You could be torn between two worlds. You probably have been all your life. The world of shadows and the world of light. So, it's up to you. You have to make the choice to leave the shadows. Only you. No one can compel you to do it. And, you know, sometimes, to their credit, the Catholic Church performs exorcisms, but it is ritual exorcism. And they can spend hours and hours in a person who has the entity. Is not in alignment with the will of the exorcist. And so all that happens is that the person is even more in a conflict because you don't know how to let go of that thing that you've come to believe is a part of you. The person who is the glutton, the person who is fixated on pornography, I'm telling you, it's not you. There's something there that's using your body. But you think it's you. That's your problem. That's essentially your problem. Whatever it is that's using you doesn't want you to know that it's using you. It wants you to think it's all your idea. Can you see that? I mean, yes, you can see it. But can you recognize it in yourself, about yourself? Can you recognize that there's something there that's been there It displaced the original use sometime when you were a child or maybe even in your early teenage years. And it started living its life through you as if it were you. Like an unwanted house guest. But it comes in against your will. And look, people have been damaged, hurt against their will. You've had things done to you as a child against your will. So in a sense, you're in a manner of speaking, you're kind of used to having things, strange things happen to you, be done to you against your will. 1-800-866-8883. David Masters here. We'll take a quick break. All right, here we are. This is Advice Line. My dad has just taken a little time out. And I'm going to actually go ahead and go to my next caller. And that is Kate. So let me see if Kate is syncing up with what I'm talking about. Kate, are you there?
Yes, and I am. And I thank you for your words. I'm grateful that you stepped in for your dad. I view both of you as mentors. And the strides I have made have been astronomical. And I think, so without crying, I'm really going to try to get through this. But I heard what you were saying to the previous caller, and I think that what I'm getting from this is that there is a part of me that does see that there is a denial in me that I have, you know, basically a glass of wine every third day or so on average. And there's a part of me that says that's totally fine, but then I know that also there's another part of me that sees that there's a problem. And so I guess, you know, here I am.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Can you identify, let's just say one thing in your day that just bugs the crap out of you? One thing.
One thing.
That bothers you, that makes you grit your teeth.
I cannot, but I certainly can start to do that going forward. Just
okay, because
I guess
see,
what you're saying is,
see, you got to understand, it's cause and effect relationship.
Okay.
And the reason why drinking or drugging or doing anything that gives you pleasure or escape feels so good is because there's something down there grinding away at you and making
okay.
you feel unhappy or burdened in some way. And so it's that very thing that makes you feel burdened, unhappy, upset, frustrated, whatever it may be, whatever emotion applies to your situation. That is the catalyst that makes you go to the other things. You got to remember, it's a domino effect, cause and effect relationship of all things. And so let's say, for example, you're in traffic, and then somebody has an accident. You're sitting there, and you have to be somewhere else, and you start to feel the pressure build up. And then you feel this frustration, like, my God, why do I have to live this way? You see, all it takes is that, and then something in you says, but later on tonight, we'll just sit down with a nice glass of Pinot Noir, and we'll watch a TV show, and we'll treat ourselves to a little night off. You see my point?
Yes.
Something happens to grind at you in the wrong way, and that's when you start thinking about the solution, which is later on, we're going to get rid of this feeling, you see?
Okay.
So as you become aware, because this, if you're meditating, if you're listening to the Be Still and Know exercise, whatever you're using, the Cure Stress device, what it's going to do is it's going to bring you back into the present. Because right now, everything you do, and most people do, is future or past focused. For example,
okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to do this, because I've been putting it off for a while. But then here comes the past reference. Yeah, but last time you tried to do that, it didn't work out the way you thought it would. You see how you can get tossed back and forth like a ball on a volleyball court?
Yes.
Back and forth between future and past. And so what the observation exercise does, the meditation, it brings you into the present moment. And in that present moment, future and past don't exist. Because all that actually really is right now.
Okay.
There was no other time, place, experience, but right now. But our minds, unlike the minds of any kind of animal, our minds begin to anticipate. Or our minds begin to dread. Like, oh, I mean, I've had those moments where I have so much stress on me. And I get up at 4:45 every day. That's an early day, early rise and shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember times when I thought, oh, there's that alarm clock. And like the alarm clock was like a rivet gun shooting nails in my head. You know, beep, beep, beep. Oh, make it stop. Oh, it's just painful. Because where you'd rather be is in that cozy bed, asleep and unconscious to the cause and effect things that are happening to you as you go through your day. You get up, you drag yourself out of bed, you know, you turn on your coffee or whatever you do, you turn on the news, you put your clothes on. It becomes a drudgery. Everything that you do becomes a drudgery.
Right.
So, is that something like what your life is like? Kind of you feel a drudgery?
There could be. The life I did have was impossible, and it has gotten immensely better, and it is better. But there are moments then that I see, oh, boy, I got to do this. So that I guess that's a little frustration, right?
There it is.
And then I think what happens is I maybe subconsciously am working myself up into this, and then I can see where this thing in me, right? It tells me, oh, well, you're going to have a glass of wine later on, so it's fine. And then I push through whatever it is that I'm doing.
Exactly. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
And then now what you have to do is identify what it is that you, because to me it sounds like there's some dread. Like there's things you're not looking forward to doing.
Right. Okay.
See, it may be even your job. Like maybe your job's kind of like, oh my gosh, I've done this for so many years and nothing has ever changed for year upon year upon year. You know that 80% of people polled hate their jobs?
Right.
80%.
Exactly.
I think to myself, how can you live in a job you hate?
Yeah. And the life that I live is not, it's a good life, you know, and the things that I do are good and they're wholesome. They are good, and I know that. And I think what happens is now what I'm doing is I'm kind of speaking out of myself right now. I know that I'm not wanting to say these things, but I know that I have to say these things.
Good.
In order for me to move ahead, you know, to get out of this, is I think what I'm doing is I'm telling myself I wasn't brought up to do these wholesome good things, so I have to force myself to do these.
Well, hold on now. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Say it again.
Sure. So I was brought up in an extraordinarily dysfunctional life, and I changed. You know, I started listening to your dad years ago, started the meditation, and it's been like, you know, he's mentioned, and you have 2 steps forward, 1 step back. But I see myself making, I married a good man, I have a good family, you know, just it's nice life. But there's things that I see going on in my head. You don't know how to do this, or
there it is.
You know, this is exhausting, all these things that you do. It's too much, you know, you need help, or just little things that I see my mind telling me and I don't listen to it, but yet maybe I am listening to it because it gets me exhausted.
Hold that thought because we're going to take a quick segue here, play a few commercials, and I'll come back. We'll talk some more about it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hold on. 1-800-866-8883 is the number here. Lines are open. David Master sitting in. I'll be right back with more. Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful. readiness to show appreciation and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
Untold thousands have acquired helpful insight into their lives through help from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your donations and continued patronage allow us to continue our work to improve the human condition. Through our radio extension of Advice Line with Roy Masters and our website at FHU.com, we will continue to offer answers to the tough questions that life presents. Great inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation. Roy Masters offers his meditation exercise titled Be Still and Know on the Foundation's website, FHU.com. Now you can release the binds that tie you, learn to break those unhealthy addictions, overcome anger, rage, and insecurity. It all begins with a proper mindset. The Foundation website offers you the gateway to a more meaningful existence. Inner peace can be discovered through the practice of meditation, titled Be Still and Know at FHU.com. You can also call the Foundation Monday through Friday at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and welcome back to Advice Line. David Masters sitting in while my dad's just taking a time out. He's had a pretty solid record lately of doing his show. And fortunately, I'm the engineer, the board op, the producer, everything here. So it just gives me the opportunity to sit in at times like this. 1-800-866-8883. Again, I encourage you to, I don't know when it comes out. I think it might come out on Wednesday, the last or the latest Sunday conversation at FHU.com. I did a talk entitled Humble Yourself. But it's a lot more than you think. You never even begin to guess what I talked about. And I don't even remember. I'm told it's very good. So, having said that, I'm going to go back to my caller, and we're gonna see if we can straighten this out. Kate, are you there?
I was thinking about what you asked me, and I think being at a commercial gave me an opportunity to kind of really be honest with myself and to think about it. You know, you mentioned, are there some triggers? And I was really trying to kind of pinpoint that. And I know that I'm at least at a point where I can kind of see what's going on within me. And I can tell that the day will go and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this daily monotony can get kind of boring. And at night, oh well, a glass of wine will make me feel kind of giddy or something. And I know that I'm going to go ahead and have that wine and I'll be relaxed and everything will be nice and I'll be ready to go ahead and face the day again tomorrow. Embarrassing to say that, but I have to.
What you're saying is that at a certain point, there's this disconnect and you're no longer living in the moment. Something there begins to sort of grind away at you.
See? I see.
And exactly as I said, whatever it is that grinds away at you predisposes you to want to sit, to have the next thought, which is, tonight I'll have that glass of wine and I'll take the edge off and then I'll be ready for tomorrow. But see, truly, you're not happy yet. And so maybe life is pretty good, but, you know, life being pretty good is not the same as life being amazingly good.
Okay.
And now most people will say, well, what does it mean to be amazingly good? And I'll give you a simple answer. And the answer is very, very simple, almost stupidly simple. And that is, if you're aware of all of the forces that are coming at you, and you don't let one of those things get in you or get under your skin, that is the secret to absolute happiness. Don't let something catch you off guard.
I believe you. I believe you. I do. I believe that can happen. I do.
Now, I'm not perfect, and I'm just as human as anybody, but I have seen in my own self that for over the last 5 years, you know, you get to a certain plateau and then you say, okay, where's the next level? So for the last 5 years, or maybe even longer, I don't know. But I've been watching how things affect me. And so it doesn't even matter actually what's going on outside me. What matters to me is what's going on inside me. And so if I hear a voice and the voice starts saying, oh, I can't believe I have to deal with this again. Or, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. If I see myself, if I watch and see myself reacting to it, I say, I can't get over this if I keep doing that. It'll just keep having the same effect on me. It'll keep pushing me backward. So I've watched and I've actually allowed all the things that I didn't want to deal with or didn't like or even resent it. I actually allowed those things to start to come at me. Because you can put up a shield, right? And the shield is a shield of denial. It can be a chemical shield where you put on the chemical and you feel better but then after a while, nothing affects you because you don't feel anything. You just become numb to the world. Or the drinking shield or the smoking shield or the food shield. See, these are all shields. Yeah. These are all things that take your edge off. And, you know, you can see how people obsessively go for these different substances because they're actually, but I'm going to show you something else that's really interesting. So that as the world takes something out of you, every time you react in the wrong way, you're compelled to go back to that world that took something out of you and take something from that world and put it in you.
That is crazy. Wow, but I understand it. I get it. That's beautifully stated.
That's it. And so each time, every single little thought that has an effect and it grinds you the wrong way. And I have to warn you, too, about the good thoughts, because there are people that walk around and I've seen them with they have a plastered on smile and they got that strange look in their eye and everything is funny and they giggle all the time and they seem like the happiest people in the world. But that's just a mask. It's a mask. It's the mask that they want you to see. That's the face they want you to see. Because their other face is the sad face. You know how the happy and the sad faces represent
those
drama
masks
or theater?
Yes.
There almost is no in-between in the world of drama. Because the two are constantly embroiled in battle. Happiness and misery. Misery loves company.
Do you know why I believe you? It's just because of the immense changes that I've been allowed to go through. I know that I still have a ways to go. And I see myself when I'm thinking about the wine, I see this other part of me, like the happy and the sad face going on inside of me. And then I can see myself getting mad at myself. Why do you need to do this? You know, this little internal struggle taking place, and it's bizarre, but it's as if I'm kind of watching it happen. And then off I go, and I'm watching myself pour the glass of wine, you know, and then it's over. It's so bizarre, but I see this happening like I'm watching a movie in a way.
You're watching yourself, but see, whatever it is, now let's talk about who the real you is for a moment.
Right.
I think a lot of people can see their hand reaching into a refrigerator. And they know that it's their hand, but something else is controlling it.
And they're not even hungry.
And they're not hungry, but they're reaching for something. Right. And again, I'll put it again, because it's a simple way of understanding and remembering that every time the world takes something out of you, you have to reach back out and take something from the world and put it back in you. And that's the nature of addiction.
Dream? That's amazing. That's so true.
But see, the truth, the simple truth, you're ready to hear it. The truth will set you free.
Yeah.
It is a simple truth. It's an undeniable truth. And for you to recognize it right now means that everything has already changed. So now from this point forward, because you see what I said so completely, so clearly, now every single thing that tends to grind you the wrong way, now you become aware of it in a different way. Because you see that it's potentially going to take something away from you. Right?
Right.
Every little reaction, even the thoughts that go through your head, that those things can potentially take you out of the moment, whereas this is where you're supposed to be. And at that point, that then justifies that same thing that's attacked you, that's affected you in some way. It helps to justify the next behavior, which is watching yourself pour yourself a glass of wine and feeling helpless to do anything about it. But it's already changed now because you see it.
Okay. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, when this is happening, this just goes so bizarre, but I, you know, my dad was a drunk and he died with cirrhosis of the liver and all that. And I can see myself making that excuse in my head. Well, I was raised with a drunk and it's all that I've known.
Perfect. But wait, back it up a little bit.
Right. Okay.
Because that is the self that was through osmosis. You absorbed that attitude. You absorbed it by watching him kill himself. And there was resentment toward that. When you saw him killing himself, you hated him for it. You couldn't help it.
Right.
You didn't want him to kill himself. Nobody wants somebody else to kill themselves unless they're completely evil.
Yeah, exactly.
And so as you saw this, you resented it. You felt terrible. You felt helpless to do anything about it, right?
I couldn't. I tried. I know. You're right.
Right. And you can resent the feeling of helplessness.
Yeah.
But see, if you resent the feeling of helplessness, then you invite it in and it starts to play a role in your life. And it makes you feel like
victimhood, huh?
Yes, victimhood. Exactly. You took the word out of my mouth.
Okay.
Right up. Exactly. You're tracking. See, in the average person, it takes them many, many years to get to the place that you're at right now, because you're actually on this path to enlightenment, to self-awakening. And it's by your own desire, not by some other person's will, or not by a good sales job of somebody telling you, your life could be so much better if you'll only do these things, 21 days to positive change. All that kind of stuff, it's for people who are not really ready to know the truth that sets them free.
You know, David, I haven't wanted to call, but this other thing dialed the phone, and I know that. I know that, and that's okay, you know.
Explain that. What do you mean by that?
I have been making excuses to myself and saying red wine's healthy, just whatever excuses.
Okay. And because I thought you said that the other thing dials the phone.
Yeah.
But it doesn't dial the phone. It doesn't want you to dial the phone.
No.
It wants to keep you in just sort of in that stupor as long as it can. I mean, everybody's got something like that. I mean, if you look at it, there's always something that people will resist giving up. And that's how you can tell whether or not they're actually ready to grow spiritually. It could be anything. It really could be anything. I can't even think of an example, but let's just say it might be a kind of food that's bad for you, like sugar.
Right, donuts.
Donuts, right. So, in other words, a person now, the type 2 diabetics, it's just like an epidemic. Even the dietary guidelines don't tell you how to overcome the eating problem. They just tell you, well, cut down on this and cut down on that. But a person who is ready to do what is necessary intuitively knows. And I actually had a battle. I was diagnosed type 2 about 4 years ago. I had 12 weeks. I lost 30 pounds. My blood sugar was perfect. I went back to the doctor and he said, I don't know how you did it, but you're the poster boy. And I said, for what?
Wow.
Just self-control. I said, all I did was just do what I intuitively knew to do. And I told him, your dietary guidelines are garbage. And you know what?
I know.
You should get rid of these wheelchairs in here and get a bunch of treadmills and get people in here. And I'll even come in and lead the workout session. and then he said, well, go talk to the head nurse. So I went to the head nurse and I told the nurse, your dietary guidelines are garbage. And you know it.
That's so funny.
Put me in here and I'll help your people get better. They sent me a letter saying, thank you for, you know, your interest and congratulations on your rapid recovery. And that was it.
That's it, of course.
They didn't want it. They didn't want the truth that sets them free.
No.
And there's just certain things you have to accept. You'd have to know at this point in time, I've got to stop doing what's killing me. And if you can't do that, then nobody can help you. Hold on. We'll continue this conversation because I got to take a break here. Stay with me, Emma.
Thank you.
Kate, hold on. Yes, this is the Roy Masters radio program. I have not done anything to my dad. He's still with us, thank God. And he will be back, but I am just sitting in for a while he takes a time. And we'll be right back with more.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes free with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone, go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
All right, and welcome back to the program. And talking to Kate in Nevada. Welcome back, Kate.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be having this conversation with you. And, you know, it was meant to be.
As are most things.
Yeah.
But you see, with the way that we've been raised, and like even that voice that talks to you and it says you weren't meant to be this kind of person because you weren't raised that way. Don't you see how that's the Gollum? Did you ever see The Lord of the Rings?
That was fantastic.
Remember how the Gollum is the third episode of the Lord of the Rings, the Gollum has a conversation with himself and it goes something like this.
Where would you be without me? I saved us.
And the Gollum says, no, I'm with Master now. Master takes care of me. And he's having this dialogue with himself. And this is actually brilliantly illustrated because it goes on in every mind. There's something in there that says, you can't leave me.
I cannot believe it. I see that. I absolutely agree.
There's something in us all, and it wants us because... Let's put it this way. We are its habitat. See, if it loses us, then it has to go somewhere else. It may go into another person, or it may have to go back to where it came from, which is another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But see, our goal should be in life is to survive our programming, the stuff that was downloaded mm-hmm. into us as a child. And thank God for you in the sense that you can hear it. Because most people can't.
Yeah.
You can recognize it, right?
Yeah.
And if you can see it, then you're already 50% of the way there. Because now it's just a matter of recognizing it. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. I sometimes sit in a little room editing for hours and hours and hours. And once in a while, I could feel this anxiety. It's kind of trying to creep up on me. As if there's somebody like behind me. Trying to catch me by surprise and spook me a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it's there. And the minute I recognize that it's there, it's gone.
But see, that's amazing that you're at that point, though, because I'm figuring that perhaps the reason why that happens is because of the content of what you're editing. And this thing doesn't want the world to hear it. I want you to hear it, maybe.
I started editing when I was 23 years old, and wow. An interesting experience I had. One day, I'm sitting in this little closet that's been turned into an editing room, and I've been editing one of my dad's lectures for hours. And suddenly, a word pops into my mind, and the word was Kleenex. And I thought to myself, Well, hold on. I was editing, I'm listening, and I stopped the recording. I said, what the heck was that? What's this Kleenex? What? Why did I have that thought? Now, I'm 23 years old. course, I started meditating 5 years before that, so I'm kind of coming out of the fog of life.
Right.
So I look around, and this little room is just stacked full of little boxes everywhere. And I really had to kind of, I had to go like on a safari to find, yes, it was a box of Kleenex. And there was about a half an inch gap between boxes. It was sitting on a counter behind all these boxes. Just boxes that had, they were just plain boxes, cardboard boxes. And there it was, right back there. Behind, and my subconscious self spied it, and a word came up out of it. But see, the average person doesn't catch themselves in the sense that there are things that are catching your attention, and then that other self in there is hungry. I used to call it the hungry mind. We all have a hungry mind. And the world knows how to actually furnish all kinds of substance to us all the time. But when you're sitting in a closet and you're sitting there listening to, you know, these deep truths, and you get real focused in being in the moment, and then you start to catch those things. It was almost like, in a way, being in a monastery, because I would literally edit for 5, 6, 7 hours a day.
Exactly. The content of what you're editing, my goodness gracious, exactly.
But it was, was something else. It was something else because I was on this path, and I had already got to the point where I was aware of thoughts that were going through my mind that were being superimposed, right? I was already becoming aware of those things. Now, this was a much subtler level because a Kleenex is just a very, it's a mundane, it's a benign thing to go through your mind, like Kleenex. Oh, I don't need Kleenex. And most people would just blow it off and go on with what they were doing. But I stopped to find out why that word was there. See, but I am that kind of person. I want to know why. I mean, when I was in high school, a bunch of kids would be standing around talking about something stupid. And I would walk up and I'd listen for a few minutes. And this is what I would say. Why are you guys talking about this? It's stupid. And they'd all go, oh, you're no fun. They all walk away from me. I mean, that was me, 17 years old. What are you talking about? This is stupid. You're no fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for rejecting me because you know what? I turned out better. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So
it's just hard going through it at the time. I know.
No, it wasn't. It was like, I'm going to say this, and it's the truth. When I first started meditating, I was 19 years old. And after about a year of meditating, I thought, you know, I'm going to be alone all my life because the stuff I see, I get what my dad's saying now. I see stuff that I don't think anybody can understand.
Yep.
And so I actually was confronted with the idea of, well, you're going to be alone. There's nobody that's going to see this stuff. And I thought, well, if that's the way it's meant to be, then okay. See, even in those early days, and when I was 20 years old, I embraced the idea of being alone because of this.
I told my son, my 13-year-old son, because I listened to your dad, you know, during the day here and there on the internet, et cetera. And I said, you know, Roy had talked about that. He said that people say that, oh, I don't have anybody to talk to because of the, you know, where I'm at, et cetera. And he said, well, how do you think I feel? And I shared that with my son. He said, well, at least he has his son, David. I said, yeah, he does.
You're too generous. David. Generous. My friend, Kate, I have to let you go, and I appreciate your call. I'm taking a quick break here, and I'll be right back. Great conversation, 1-800-866-8883. Okay, I'm back for 1 minute, and in that minute, I'm going to urge you to do something. Your life depends upon changing your understanding of the things that are affecting you the way they do. We are the effect of a cause in every way, shape, and form. And it actually happens from the day you're born. So it's not something that is freakish. It's actually very normal and very natural, but it is very unnatural at the same time. If you'll go to FHU.com, you can download Be Still and Know. My kids have listened to it since they were little toddlers. And they're very aware at their ages, 11 and 14. And also the Cure Stress device, it's amazing. And you can take that around with you and give it to somebody that you care about. FHU.com, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.